Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with Joel Elkonen, co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show, also editor of the Pre-Market Prep website, which I will post a link to below this interview. Now, Joel, there's a fair bit for us to talk about because we're seeing some pretty intense volatility, I guess we can say, this week in markets and in metals, really across the board. Let's start off, though, by talking about the headlines from yesterday regarding Jerome Powell having another 4 years as the chairman of the Federal Reserve. The markets, again, reacting kind of weird on this. They seem weak in general, although they're not just dropping like a stone. Do you think it's fair to blame some of the weakness or all of the weakness this week on Jerome Powell, again, heading up the Fed for another 4 years?
I think so. And thanks for having me, Corey and Shad. I'll tell you, Pope and Powell may be losing his punch is the best way to put it. Very anticipated whether Brainard was going to take over. You got a ridiculous pop yesterday morning, gave it back midday, and then they ramped it up again. And just for your traders and investors out there, you know I watch the pre-market. You know the first hour is very important. But that last hour, the hour of power, that's where the big money comes in. That's where the institutions trade with, trade with each other. And they just came in with their selling shoes on. Now, the last 35 minutes in the market yesterday was probably one of the worst 35 minutes I've seen in the market, really going back to sometime last year when we had some turbulent periods. Market trying to recover today, but not doing a good job. They just feel that he's just too easy on this inflation picture, and they're taking it out on the market. They're taking it out on poor Zoom, these growth tech stocks. The reason being Zoom under $200 is that their future earnings are not going to look as attractive in a higher interest rate environment. So, Powell knocked the market off its keister. We'll see if it can regain control.
Well, Joel, just to clarify on that, because if they don't think he's going to be fast enough to hike the rates to fight inflation, then why are they worried about their forward earnings being impacted by the rising rates? And just to that point, would it have been any better with Lael Brainard? Because she would have been even more dovish and wouldn't have hiked the rates even worse. She'd even said she doesn't want to hike the rates at all. So I'm not sure how it would have been better outcome if she was, and she's still the vice chair, but how would it have been better with her, number one? And number two, why are they looking so far into the future with the hiking rates if they think he's not going to hike fast enough?
Well, because inflation, if he doesn't hike fast enough, then the inflation is going to grow at a faster rate and be more devastating, right? They're thinking that if he raises interest rates, a little bit quicker, it can, stop or slow down the inflation, and that won't have as negative impact. But if it just runs away inflation and he does nothing about it, then that really decreases the value of the future earnings. As far as Brainard goes, I mean, Pump and Powell, man, he's got us here. I mean, why would you, if your jockey wins the Derby in the Preakness, do you take him off for the Belmont? No way. The market, going with what you got you there. Brainard is an unknown. I think the political situation, what's going on with COVID, with the oil crisis and situation, the market likes stability. The market doesn't like change. So, yeah, it's not great with Powell being in there, but I think he would have had a worse reaction if Brainard would have been appointed to his position. The market likes consistency and not surprises. You may not like what you're getting with Powell in the way he's going with rates, but you can't argue about the performance of the market over the last 3 or 4 years. You can't argue how we, at least what the Fed has done to bring us out of the COVID crisis. So that's, I hope that answers your question.
So, Joel, we're talking a lot about Powell, but in all fairness, the odds were that Powell was going to get elected here. And I do agree with you in the sense that the market does like stability and it does not like uncertainty. But we're going to move past this pretty quickly. So then what does actually matter for these markets once everybody finally does just accept Powell is still there and things aren't going to change, it doesn't look like?
If the rate of inflation comes down, if we have a nice holiday season, if he's right, if this is transitory. Besides that, you just came out of a pretty good Q3 earnings season, right? So you don't have earnings season to worry about. You have seasonality factors that tend to, favor the market. You do have some year, you're going to have some big year-end tax loss selling. But, you have the Santa Claus rally and you have that kind of effect in the market. So with the earnings, Q2 earnings out of the way, seasonality patterns favor the market to continue in the path of least resistance. That's higher. These last 2 days have changed the complexion of the market. There's absolutely no doubt about it. And I like to try and digest things on a weekly basis. And the farther that we distance ourselves from those highs from yesterday, the more overhead supply you're building in the markets. So when the market does rally, you're going to be met with sellers. Sellers on strength are different than sellers on weakness. You had a strong market yesterday. They came in to sell. There were no bids. There was nothing there. We got to a level where the institutions now are sellers. They had their higher, targets for the market. They missed those targets. You can see it. You can see it in stocks. You can see where, no matter what the stock is, when you see 3, 4, 5 highs in the same area, that's not the apes moving stocks. That's the institutional money moving in and out of the market. And now their offers are coming down. And I don't think they're throwing bids out there yet, at least not at these levels.
Well, Joel, there were some other commentators that had mentioned this was just a technical setup where, things were, most of the market indexes were at all-time highs. They were hitting the upper channel and upper trend line. And it could be that some of them were just profit-taking events where these larger funds are book squaring here at year end on a week that's got lower volumes anyways. It's a holiday week. Could it just be that there was some technical, overbought conditions that are now selling off and the Fed thing's just kind of the cover some people are using to describe what's just a technical sell-off?
True. I mean, there is one other thing under the hood that, are we out of COVID? That's the other thing. You talk about, other factors. I mean, the way these reopening stocks are reacting, it's not good. You have RCL down from 98 to under 80. The airlines are not performing well. Germany is at pinnacle. It's worse since the entire crisis. So a little bit of COVID wariness, too, I think, is something that, the headlines, not affecting the United States as much, but definitely affecting the European countries. And that, of course, affects, trade flow and consumption of U.S. goods overseas. So COVID, I mean, you want to say it's gone. Pandemics don't end in a year. They don't end in 2 years. We were at a point. We're not going to lockdowns. But you have some headwinds in the market, really, with the COVID crisis as well.
Joel, let's also talk about the precious metals, because gold is getting hit quite hard, and it was on a nice run all of November, and right now it's given up all of those gains in November. It entered the month right in just below 1800, and now we're back below 1800. So as optimistic as everyone got about gold and the momentum it built up to the upside, boy, oh boy, that's been taken away quite quickly just in the last couple trading days. What's your takeaway from that move?
In it, it's what is supposedly an inflationary environment. Gold's just its own beast. And I have a long-term position in GDX and GLD, probably still up a little bit on it. I hate it. I can't stand it anymore. And the fact that, I missed that move to 1850 is very disheartening. But, if I get an opportunity like that again, one day, or else I'm just gonna cut bait, because it's going nowhere. It's not moving up in an inflationary environment. And I know a lot of your listeners are gold bugs, but it's just not doing what it's supposed to do, which is very disappointing.
Well, Joel, there's a lot of things not doing what they're supposed to do. The dollar's not supposed to go up in an inflationary environment either, and the dollar's been surging. The bonds originally sold off, and now they're being now the rates are coming back up again, but there's a lot of things acting weird. People have been saying cryptocurrencies are an inflation hedge, and they just fell from 69,000 down to 55,000 in the last couple of weeks. So does that mean they're not an inflation hedge either? It just seems like there's a lot of weird currents. What do you make of the recent crypto pullback?
It's a pullback. I mean, you can't say that it, you know, that it's anything more than a pullback. You got a new all-time high. You pulled back, and you're finding good support. I was looking for a $55,000 entry. You're finding support above that. So that whole area just looks like a little breather. Inflation, non-inflation, the young kids, you know, that's what they're investing in, and they're not investing in gold. So that's definitely taking away from the gold market. Still an uptrend and not going away anytime soon. 55 to 55.5 is my numbers in Bitcoin. Before I go, I'm doing another event on December 11th. You guys may even want to sign up for this one. We're doing it on order tape reading and order execution. My buddy Dennis and I, who I co-host the show with, is going to be going over all his tricks to the trade and executing orders, whether you're trading short-term or long-term. You want to get the best possible executions. I'll send some information out to you, Corey, so you can post it. But it's our last event of the year. It's a must-see tape reading and order execution, whether you're a short-term or long-term investor. Will be a benefit to you.
All right, Joel, I will post that link below this interview. Thanks for your time today. I know you got to run, but interesting comments on, unfortunately, a pretty tough week here where it seems like some weakness and fear is starting to creep into the market. But, oh, boy, for those gold investors, it's definitely been a disappointing start to the shortened trading week. Joel, thanks as always for your time, buddy. We'll chat again next week.
Okay, thank you.